questioner stand, tell us your name and where you live for the recording purposes, as well as for those here who might not know you. And let's have a good discussion these next 45 minutes. BJ?
Brother Clark, I'm Curtis Cates from Memphis School of Preaching. I was in Brother Gus Nichols' classes for 3 years in Jasper when I was preaching in Warrior, Alabama. And I heard him discuss numerous times the Holy Spirit. And his book correctly represents him. He did not believe in the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Brother Ira Rice and I were on a forum at Robertson County with Brother Roy and Brother Mac. And we pleaded with them numerous years ago to drop this false doctrine. And also mentioned that Mac was saying that he and Brother Nichols agreed on the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, I was in his classes for 3 years. And I know he did not teach direct operation of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he talked strongly against the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. So that's a launching pad for
yes,
that.
Yes, sir.
Number two, Mac Deaver has said that we have the same thing, John 14, 16, 13, 14, 26, that the apostles did, only to a lesser degree.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that we're nearly as inspired as they were?
Those are excellent questions, and I'd like to ask you to be the judge of what Brother Nichols believed based on some of the very statements that he made. All right, go ahead. Yes.
For you.
All right.
Gary Summers, Winter Park, Florida. There are some other people here who may have been at the Fried Hardeman Open Forums. Well, Doug was. During the 70s when Guyon Woods and Gus Nichols debated the indwelling.
Right.
But when they got done with their debates, and they did it more than once, mm-hmm. they would always say, both men, now neither one of us believe that the Holy Spirit does something directly to us.
Right.
And if anyone were to say that, that would be error. They both agreed with that. Both positions agreed with that.
Okay.
And so what did Brother Nichols say?
I'm glad you asked. This is from page 50 of his book. There is not an idea in religion today which is true that is not wrapped up in the seed, the Word of God. There are no direct ideas. I want you to notice on page 65, he says this, when the Holy Spirit dwells in men, He does not comfort them directly. The emphasis is in the original. He emboldened that word himself. He said, the Holy Spirit, when he dwells in men, does not comfort them directly in any miraculous way, but he comforts now just like he's always comforted, like he did the apostles and other people in apostolic days, through his word, which he spoke through inspired men. Now here's page 73. The Holy Spirit does not reveal ideas and thoughts to people directly, nor guide them directly in some mysterious way, leaving them to wonder whether it is the spirit of the devil or the spirit of God that is doing the suggesting and the leading and such like. The Holy Spirit has no suggestions to make, no instruction to give other than what He has given in the Bible. Then on page number 73, it is possible for someone with only a meager knowledge of the Bible to sum up in his mind certain great facts and truths which he cannot express in Bible words. Now watch here, please. And he may imagine that the Holy Spirit is telling him, whispering to him, or making him to feel in a certain way that a certain thing is true. He may imagine that this is a direct operation of the Spirit, when perhaps it was nothing more than a summing up of what he already knows the Bible says. Then he says, The Spirit does not have to detour around the Scriptures to aid and assist us in any good work. Every good work has been authorized and has been directed by the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, His Word. Now, someone may say in response to that, well, what about prayer? I would point this out to you, brethren. When it comes to prayer and providence, the Bible says something about those two subjects. The Bible doesn't say anything about a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of a Christian. I believe very much in prayer, and I believe very much in providence because the Bible talks about those. The Bible does not talk about this direct operation of the Spirit upon my heart as a Christian. I do not have, and I'll notice a quote with you in just a moment from Brother Nichols about prayer and providence. I don't want to forget that. Now, here's something interesting. Brother Nichols said, was asked. He had a question and answer session, and he was asked by someone, should we pray to God to give the preacher a ready recollection? Is this providential, miraculous, or what? This Brother Nichols' answer. That's all borrowed from the apostles in John 14, where Jesus promised them that the Spirit would inspire them to reveal Christianity, to reveal the gospel. He says, it is error for a man to claim that same power tonight when he's not an apostle, is not in the same class they were, when the world is not in the same condition. You will notice that he did not make the same claim that Brother Deaver made in his debate, in his debates in which he has said that he has a degree of John 14, 26. Brother Nichols said, it's an error for a man to claim that same power tonight. To any degree would be the implication of his statement. So he asked, well, then how does the Holy Spirit lead us? He leads us through His Word, page 216. He guides Christians by talking to us through inspired men. This is the only way in the world we can follow the Spirit. You will be following superstitious ideas and you will go astray if you begin to follow imaginations and the like. Page 217. Well, then he was asked this question. Does the Holy Spirit speak through men today in a direct way? Does He motivate them to speak by influence on their behavior? This is not a new doctrine that some people are advocating. It was dealt with by Brother Nichols a long time ago, and he dealt with it very well. He said this, the Holy Spirit now through the Bible influences us to speak. But there is now no direct, independent of the Word operation or revelation for us. Such ideas make the Word of God of none effect today because people will turn up their noses at the Word and look forward to or expect imaginary, direct revelation. This is absolutely a decoy to get people away from the Word of God. The whole thing is a work of Satan who wants to belittle the Word of God and render it ineffective. You can't get any more direct than that about the direct. Does the Holy Spirit guide men today other than through the Word? Brother Nichols, tonight I have been saying over and over that He does not. The Holy Spirit's guidance is in the written Word of God, and by it He does a thorough job of guiding us. Well, will you comment then on a little passage in Romans that says, the Spirit maketh intercession for us. Is this the Holy Spirit as a person? And I know that there are some brethren who differ on whether the Spirit there means the Holy Spirit or the human spirit, but really, it doesn't make a difference as far as the argument is concerned, because even though Brother Nichols believed that it was a reference to the Holy Spirit, look at what he says. Yes, I think this is the Holy Spirit making the intercession. But His intercessions are His prayers for us. They are made to God. He is working with God for us in our behalf. Now watch His next statement. But He is not working directly upon us. There is a world of difference. He is not operating on us and inspiring us when He is praying for us. And I love this statement. When I pray for you, I'm not operating and working directly upon you in any miraculous way. Abraham interceded for Sodom, Genesis 18, 16 to 33, but he was not operating on Sodom in some mysterious manner. There are many illogical conclusions being reached by some. Amen. Page 83. Oh, but what about the Christian being empowered to live the Christian life by the power of the Spirit? Romans 8:13, question to Brother Nichols, says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Listen to the question. Does this teach that we have personal, daily help in living the Christian life? If so, would this not be a great encouragement to him who says, I would become a Christian, but I'm afraid I could not live it? Oh, yes. Brother Nichols answers, the Spirit encourages us very much to live the Christian life, but He does it, guess what He said, through His Word. When we study that and follow His Word, we are encouraged by it, strengthened by it, and by it mortify the deeds of the body. But when you imagine that the Spirit in some direct way encourages you, how would He do it? Brother Nichols asked. What sort of thought would He present? How much more could He say than has been said? Now, one more quick section, then I want to hear from you and certainly any comments that you have, but I do want to get this before us. Here's the question to Brother Nichols. If the Holy Spirit does not still guide us and perform for us, what good are some of our prayers for a heart to be moved toward God and Christ? You know what that argument is? Because God works in providence and because God answers prayers, therefore the Holy Spirit operates directly on the heart of a Christian. And you know what? That does not follow necessarily. It is a smokescreen designed to mask the real issue. My 15-year-old son was watching one of these debates the other day on television with me. And he said to me last night on the phone, he said, well, Dad, are you ready for your presentation? I said, I'm sure trying to be, son. He said, you know, the way I look at it, he had to use confusion in order to sound correct. Out of the mouth of babes comes forth wisdom. I'm sorry to say that I think that's exactly what has been done. People think, well, I want to believe in prayer. Well, you should believe in prayer. I want to believe in providence. Well, you should believe in providence because the Bible says something about those two issues. It doesn't say anything about a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of a Christian. That's a whole nother horse of a whole nother different color. I want you to notice this Brother Nichols' answer. Again, the question was, well, if the Holy Spirit doesn't still guide us and perform for us, what good are some of our prayers for a heart to be moved toward God in Christ? And Brother Nichols, who believed in the personal indwelling, said, because the Holy Spirit does not have to operate, again, his word, not mine, directly upon a heart to move it. There are many things God providentially does, not miraculously, in answering our prayers. A mother bird taking care of the young in her nest can go out in search of food for which her babies have been begging, praying if you please. She can go out and answer their plea for food without working a miracle, yet some folks cannot believe that God can use the laws of nature and bless us. A mother bird can do it without working a miracle. God couldn't. That's the irony of it all. Now here's what he says on pages 100 and 304. We do not have any direct comfort of the Spirit. Some erroneously imagine that we must have the Comforter come and do His work in addition to and independent of the written Word of God. Now I want to concentrate on this for just a moment because in a recent issue of the Living Oracles published by Malcolm Hill, he gave some questions that were asked to Mac Deaver. And Malcolm wants you and me to believe that based on the way Brother Deaver answered these questions, we're making much ado about nothing. Because one of the questions is, do you believe the Holy Spirit works separate and apart from the Word? And the answer that Brother Deaver gave in 2001 was no. Well, someone says, well, if he doesn't believe it's taking place separate and apart from the Word of God, what's the big deal? You have to understand what he means by that and parse it correctly. He does not mean by that every time the Spirit works on your heart, he's doing it through the Word. He means this. In addition to the work the Spirit does on your heart through the Word, He does do that work, and so it's the Spirit's work is never completely separate and apart from Him using the Word, because He does that all the time. But in addition to that operation, there is another independent operation of the Holy Spirit upon your heart that is direct and that He doesn't do on that occasion through the Word. Oh, He may have operated upon your heart through the Word on any number of occasions, but there are also other occasions when He operates on you without the Word. That's what He means. Now, can God or Christ or the Holy Spirit help a Christian any other way than through the Word? Brother Nichols, yes. But it doesn't do any miracle upon us in doing it. It's not miraculous. There's no miraculous revelation through any Christian, and there's no miraculous something done to us. And I know that some would say, well, see, we agree. All we're saying is it's not miraculous. But Brother Nichols doesn't stop there and then say, here is a non-miraculous direct working of the Holy Spirit. What Brother Nichols said was this: it's all done through the Word of God and through worship and service to God. Christian growth and development come through the Word. It is not by something else that is imaginary and yet miraculous and directly given. Brother Nichols fought against that with every fiber of his being. Now, to be fair, Brother Deaver would say that he does not believe that the Holy Spirit is doing something miraculous to the Christian. But he does believe that the Holy Spirit's doing something directly to the Christian's heart. Now, what's the problem with that? Brother E.R. Harper gave this quote that I think shows the problem with it. He says this: the assistance that the Holy Spirit would be rendering would be a direct, immediate, miraculous assistance performed by the Holy Spirit Himself apart from the Word upon the Christian's heart. And this is Brother Harper talking about the 1970s group bringing this doctrine in. But there's a part of it that applies, even though the terminology may not be the same. I believe that what he was driving at is much the same. He said this: it matters not how much this charismatic Holy Spirit faction among us today may object that this is a miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit. This function or action is performed by the Holy Spirit Himself in addition to the particular work being performed at the same time by the Word upon the same heart. The actions of the Spirit and the actions of the Word are separate, distinct, independent actions. And he says the Holy Spirit either has to operate upon the Word or upon the heart of the person. Either way, it declares the Word's a dead letter, and you've got to have the special help of the Holy Spirit or you can't do it. Now, I would love to hear any questions or comments from you that you might have to make.
I'm your daddy. Call me daddy.
Amen. Amen.
Will you call me daddy? I have in my files a letter that was sent out probably the 70 sometimes from, I believe it was Word Publishing, the denominational publishing house, and it was in regard to their communicator's commentary. And it was signed by Lloyd John Ogilvie. And the very first paragraph of that letter, it says that the Holy Spirit had inspired the writers of those commentaries to provide us with an understanding of what the Scriptures said. Now, they probably wouldn't hold to that to the degree that they need to. If they really meant what they said, then those are inspired commentaries, and they ought to be a part of every Christian's library as much as the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you would have to believe them as much as you believe your Bible. Well, they ought to be held accountable for what they've said. In the same way, whether it's Brother Mack or anybody else who claims this direct illumination needs to be held accountable for what they've said. And we just cannot let them try to wiggle out from under that. As Brother Harper said, that is miraculous. Whether he wants to call it miraculous or not, it is miraculous. People need to be shown that he's contending for miraculous. and exposed for exactly where this doctrine is and where it's going to end up leading those that follow that. And I think every effort needs to be made whenever these things are discussed, whether it's in writing or in person, debate or that, to hold their feet to the fire on this and show that what he's contending for is nothing less than miraculous. And no restoration preacher or a gospel preacher today would be contending for that sort of thing. And he is just as far off on this as he can possibly be.
Amen. I want to say that this reminds me of the very thing I want to bring out. You may have wondered, why did we spend so much time at the first on the inspired men being conscious of their inspiration and when the Spirit was doing things to them? Because those who are arguing for a direct operation of the Holy Spirit today, when asked and pressed, say, we don't know when it's happening, if it's happening. You ask them, which passages have you now understood that you didn't understand before, and can you prove, in the same way the apostles could prove their doctrine, that what you got was really from the Holy Spirit, or is that just your assertion? They do not have any ability to pinpoint the time and the moment at which the Spirit's... They say it's done subconsciously. I found it interesting. I found this book yesterday in one of the book display areas. It has a chapter, and it's written by a denominational author, William Fitch. He's from the Church of the Presbyterian Church. And he has a chapter in here on the Holy Spirit and the subconscious. What the Spirit's doing to you that you don't even know he's doing to you. And he said, when I hear something said and I think, oh, I want to remember that, and I don't have any pen or paper to write it down, I just commit it right then to the Holy Spirit. And then whenever I need it in the future, he always gives it to me. Now, I recognize that some brethren may not be saying the same kinds of things, and especially the proponents of such doctrine may not come out and say things like that, but I'm going to guarantee you something right now. You mark my words. Those who follow and adhere to this doctrine are going to run with it to places that you cannot imagine. And they're going to start claiming the Spirit told them thus and so, and this and that and the other. And when you try to deny it, they're going to say, I just know because... felt it right here. It's denominationalism in new clothes. They're really not new. Other comments? Yes, sir.
Yale Murphy from Sylvia, Kansas. I'm not a prophet nor a seer nor your granddaddy. But I have a simple question. I'm not an educated man. But why does the Holy Spirit... if he works in a way that Scripture indicates its inspiration, why does he have to explain himself?
Fair question. You know what? This I'm so glad that you said that, because though they would never say it in these words, this is what it amounts to. You didn't do a good enough job the first time you revealed it, so we need you to come and kind of fix up what you didn't finish. Yes, right. As if the kingdom, the same kind of concept as, well, Jesus didn't really get the kingdom he wanted to establish the first time, so he's got to come back and try again. That is blasphemy to suggest that the Holy Spirit... In fact, what I love Brother Harper, he said it over and over in his book, he said, the Holy Spirit illuminated the word the first time he gave it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word doesn't need illumination, it's already been illumined. And that's what we need to understand. Other comments?
Dave Watson from Sepulpa, Oklahoma. I have a host of friends. Comment made a moment ago about Mac Deaver's claim that this direct operation of the Holy Spirit is never... separate and apart from the Word of God, and of course his followers or those who agree with him are making the same claim. Had a discussion recently on this very issue. Took a piece of paper and drew three circles, labeled one the Holy Spirit, second one the Word, and the third the Christian. Drew a line from the Holy Spirit to the Word, drew another line from the Word to the Christian. They agreed this individual agreed that the Holy Spirit works through the Word on the Christian, drew a line from the Holy Spirit directly to the circle labeled Christian, asked if the Holy Spirit did that. They affirmed that he did, or at least that such is possible. I said, well, what about this claim that it's never separate and apart from the Word? He covers up the Word and said that's what we mean when we say it's never separate and apart from the Word, that the Holy Spirit is doing this when the Word isn't. That's their explanation of that. I said, well, then what you're advocating, two separate operations. He affirmed that. I said, if they're not the same, then they have to be separate. He affirmed that.
Yes.
I said, if they're separate, they're apart. He affirmed that. We're right back where we started. It is separate and apart from the Word.
It is carefully crafted language to keep folks from seeing what's really being said right now because they don't think we're ready for it yet. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm just being honest. I'm bothered by this. I just hurt so much to see individuals with such tremendous ability sacrificing those abilities on the altar of a hobby. I hate it, and I wish that it would stop. Is there someone else here that wants to comment? Yes.
Stan Crowley from Church, Texas. It is true that the Deavers sometimes will say that they don't believe in the miraculous. They don't believe that this direct operation is miraculous. And in some circles, that does tend to diffuse some of the opposition. But in the debate that he had with Bill Lockwood in Robertson County, Tennessee, I think to his credit, early in that debate, Mack did not hide out. He came out directly. And I tried to find the book in my library to give the direct quote. Maybe you have some of the quotes in your notes. But what he said was that the Holy Spirit operates as directly on the Christian today as the demon-possessed man was affected by the demonic spirit within him in the New Testament times. Now, is that natural? That's not natural.
No.
If he has that kind of an effect on Mac Deaver or his family or any of the rest of us, that is miraculous, even though he may claim that it's not. In this book, and he's the one that published the book that records the debate, so there's no question that what the quotes in the book are accurate,
right,
according to his view. It was also videotaped. It's available through the World Video Bible School. But he said that he had the same gift that the apostle does, except in a different amount. And he, in fact, in some of the questions was asked, can you list a passage that the Holy Spirit has helped you understand and a passage that the Holy Spirit has not helped you understand? And he gave an example of each.
Yes.
So he believes he's getting direct understanding from the Holy Spirit, and he can tell when it's happening and when it's not. Now, is that dangerous? I believe that it is. Because who's going to question a man who has convinced you that he's getting a direct understanding of God's Word? Isn't that how the denominational people, isn't that how the televangelists build their audiences? Mm-hmm. They stand up and believe and get people to believe that God has directly laid a word on their heart.
Right.
That God spoke to me this morning. Isn't that how they build their credibility? And I can't see the difference between that and the claims that the Deavers have made.
Good points. Brother Deaver said when asked for a passage that he had understood without the direct aid of the Holy Spirit, he said Genesis 1:1. Then when asked to give a passage that he had been directly aided by the Holy Spirit to understand, he listed Ephesians 3:16. I'm not surprised that he chose that particular text, because if that particular text is taken away from him, he has no argument to make. Because we do believe in prayer, we do believe in providence, we do believe that God works in the affairs of men, but that doesn't necessitate direct. And the word direct is nowhere found in Ephesians 3:16. The passage says that we are strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what Paul said in Colossians 1 when he talked about being strengthened by the knowledge of his will, which we got from the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly the way in which the Holy Spirit accomplishes the strengthening process. And so,
Brother BJ, the word after that in the next verse is hati. In order that we're strengthened by the Spirit, in order that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith.
By faith, and faith
not
comes.
In order that the Holy Spirit may dwell there.
Right.
What we need to ask him is how the Holy Spirit how does he strengthen us? That's his problem.
Yeah, it's not a matter of whether the Holy Spirit strengthens, or whether he indwells us, he most certainly does. But the question is how. It's always been how.
Michael Hatcher from Pensacola, Florida. Another aspect of this in relationship to the Deavers in particular and the way in which they answer questions is their view of biblical ethical deceit, that they believe that it is both biblical and that it is scripturally right to intentionally deceive someone by the way in which they ask or answer questions. Therefore, if you do not ask the question in exactly the right way, then they are going to intentionally deceive you as to what they believe.
Form of mental reservation.
Amen.
I do want to go ahead, Gary, while I'm looking for something here, please.
Just one comment that relates on what you said earlier. In some correspondence I had earlier this year with Mac Deaver, I posed the question, based on his interpretation of James 1:5, what's the difference between divine direct wisdom and the spiritual gift of wisdom in 1 Corinthians 12? And his answer was, it's only a matter of degree.
So we have one of the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 to a certain degree. That would be according to his position.
Brother Clark, it's interesting that this, in conjunction with the Word and supernatural, are terms that are used also by the Calvinists. Mm-hmm. And that is quite interesting. Also, Brother Mack would not say that there was a literal personal indwelling before Acts 2, I take it. And so the question is, were prayers answered in the Old Testament? And did providence take place in the Old Testament?
Very fair question. If the Holy Spirit did not, in his view, indwell people before Acts 2, did people have their prayers answered before Acts 2? Did providence happen before Acts 2? And another leg of that argument that you can use is this. If prayer and providence prove that the Holy Spirit operates directly on the heart of a Christian, why would they not also prove that the Holy Spirit operates directly on the heart of an alien sinner? They don't prove either one, because the Holy Spirit doesn't operate directly upon the heart of an alien sinner nor the heart of a Christian, neither one. I want to read a quote before the time completely gets away from us here. It says this: we cannot fellowship those who say that by means of the Spirit's indwelling, men can and do receive direction or guidance that is other than or in addition to the direction the Spirit has given us in the Bible. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit in some way indwells the Christian, but it also teaches that he guides and or directs the Christian through the Word. Here we stand and agree that the Holy Spirit convicts, leads, directs, and edifies only through the Word of God. Whatever other differences there may be on the subject ought not to have the least effect on the question of our fellowship. And before you conclude that those words were written by some rabid, unloving, word-only radical who just wants to stir up trouble in the church, stop and consider who wrote those words, and many of you already know. 1993, Mac Deaver, he said, we cannot fellowship those who by means of the Spirit's indwelling men can and do receive direction or guidance that is other than or in addition to the direction the Spirit has given us in the Bible. He wants to lament that we are persecuting him by taking fellowship away, but we are not doing anything more than he recognized should be done when he wrote these words in 1993. Someone else.
My name is Keith Mosier, Brother Clark, and I'm old enough to be your grandfather.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you are. Sorry. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
He always cleans up my messes for me. Brother B.J. followed me down to South Haven and cleaned up all the mess I made down there. Brother Clark, Brother Deaver has made a hobby lately out of challenging everybody and his brother to debate. I've been concerned for some time about the fact that we often debate each other in front of unbelievers. And that concerns me, and I'm grateful that in recent months we haven't given him a platform to to unload some of his teaching. I'm more than grateful that this eldership took a stand.
Amen.
I don't know. I'm going to be praying for this particular eldership every day now, for their courage. It takes some courage to stand against a brother. But one of the ways that Deaver tries to get you into a debate is to challenge you personally. He will attack you ad hominem. He will call you a coward. He will insinuate that you don't have a backbone. All of these in personal letters to me and others. And he has claimed for several years now that nobody has ever answered his argument. If you'll get the tapes 2 years ago from the Memphis School of Preaching lectures, you'll find an answer to his so-called infallible argument. And brothers and sisters, what he did was, in his major premise, he stated what he had to prove. And he stated it in an if way. When he came to his conclusion is a universal conclusion. And every logician knows that you cannot move from the hypothetical and end up with a universal conclusion. He has what's known as a modal fallacy. The syllogism itself is not in the proper form at all. It's not valid, let alone being true. Second, when he used the word spirit in his infallible argument, he used it in two senses. That's the fallacy of ambiguity. And he also used the term word in two senses, giving that the fallacy of ambiguity. Now, that has been said publicly over and over again, and he is still claiming that nobody's ever answered his argument. And it's been answered today very well by you, I might say, and I'm grateful to God that you're standing up there today, BJ. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your encouragement. I want to close my comments with a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Please zero in on the next phrase. "Which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The Apostle Paul affirmed that the word effectually works in you. And Brother Harper, in the close of his book, or near on one page of his book, I can't remember which one, says this: "If his word is an effectually working word, what extra is lacking that the Holy Spirit must supply in addition to this effectual working word?" You look up the word effectual and you see that it has to do with that which takes care of it. You don't need anything else beside it. The word of God was inspired the first time. Men were conscious of when they were inspired, and they knew when the Holy Spirit was working upon them. Those who claim the Holy Spirit is working upon them today, generally speaking, though they may say they got something from the Holy Spirit, they don't pinpoint the time at which it happened. Ezekiel dated it. He said, "Here's exactly when it happened to me." If the Spirit's working on you, I think you'll know it. And the Bible teaches very clearly that these things are so. I want to say as I close, I don't have any ill will toward any man, toward any individual. But if I know my heart right, thanks to a father who taught me from the time I was a child, I love God's word. And I want you to pray with me as we close, will you please? Our Father in heaven, we love Thee so much and we praise Thee. Father, we believe in the power of prayer because You've told us about it in Your sacred word. And Father, we believe that You work providentially in the affairs of men and that You are involved in